Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT Financial Year 2017 Annual Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 24th of August, 2017. I would now like to turn the call to your first speaker today, Mr. Bryce Mitchelson. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us for this Arena REIT conference call discussing our financial and operating results for the year ended 30th of June 2017. My name's Bryce Mitchelson, and I am the Managing Director for Arena REIT. This morning, we'll be walking through our full-year results presentation, which we released onto the ASX this morning. The presentation is also available on the Arena website. In addition to our presentation, we've also released two other key disclosure documents in relation to the results. The first being our ASX announcement highlighting the key financial metrics and activities, and secondly, our annual financial report containing the detailed financial statements. I think as the operators mentioned, this call is being recorded, and it's our intention to make a copy of this recording available on the website for playback sometime later today. Just moving to the agenda, and in this presentation, we'll be covering three main things: the financial results, a portfolio update, and provide some commentary on how we're currently seeing the market. At this point, I'll introduce two other members of the Arena senior management team who will be presenting. Mr. Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer, and also Mr. Rob de Vos, Arena's Head of Property. At the end of the presentation, we'll open up the call for questions. I think we anticipate this presentation will take about 30 minutes, plus question time. Just moving now to slide number three. I'm very pleased to report today that we've announced it's a record statutory net profit for Arena of 96.8 million dollars, and that's an increase of 33% over last year's result. That results off an asset base, a net asset base at the start of the year of 357 million. Underpinning the statutory result is an underlying net operating profit of 28.7 million dollars, and this equates to 0.123 per security, and this was 11% higher than the prior year. From this underlying profit, we paid distributions to investors of 0.12 per security, and our distributions were higher by 10% over the prior year. Arena's return on equity over FY 2017 was a strong 24.7%, and our ASX performance to investors came in at a total return of 19.8%, well above the benchmark A-REIT 300 index, which recorded a negative 5.6% for the same period. I think now up to 30th of June 2017, I think we're now the highest performing A-REIT in the top 300 on a total return basis since we listed back in June 2013, which was now over 4 years ago. From a balance sheet perspective, total assets at 30th of June 2017 have increased up to 621.3 million dollars. That's up 21% over the year, driven by revaluations, developments, and new site acquisitions. The net asset value also increased. It's now 1.84 dollar per security, and that was up 19% over the 12-month period. Since 30th of June, that net asset value has also moved up following the capital raising. Gearing as at 30th of June 2017 edged up a fraction to 27.5 million dollars and is at very comfortable and conservative levels and has subsequently dropped also, giving us ample safety margin to our debt covenant limits, and we have plenty of investment capacity to take advantage of future attractive investment opportunities that we can secure. Moving to slide four, portfolio highlights. Fundamentally, a key driver of Arena's performance is its underlying property portfolio. Through active management and good relationships with our tenants, we've been able to deliver on some excellent outcomes over the year. Firstly, on a like-for-like rental growth basis, the portfolio, we delivered a 4.3% increase on a like-for-like basis. This result was a consequence of some strong market rent review outcomes and portfolio initiatives, as well as the usual annual rent reviews which are set under our leases. Secondly, Arena's remaining lease term has now been extended out to 12.8 years as a consequence of extending over 120 leases through either option renewals, and I think we had 100% renewal rate, new long leases commencing on completion of development projects, and also negotiated lease outcomes. The weighted average lease term on the childcare portfolio is now 14.2 years, and that's significantly longer than our competitors in that sector, and I think it says a lot about the attractiveness of our portfolio to the tenants who operate from the properties. From a development perspective, we completed 7 new purpose-built childcare projects, all in great locations, generating an average yield on cost of 8.6%. And I must say we're very pleased with what we're hearing in relation to the operational ramp-up of those centres to what we've seen to date. The property team, I believe, have done a fantastic job over the year, and I think our partnership and long-term approach with our tenants is starting to pay real dividends. Turning to slide 5, and as you may be aware, we've had a material subsequent event since 30th of June 2017. Last month, Arena successfully acquired a portfolio of 9 childcare projects on a fund-through basis, which are all expected to be completed during the course of FY18 and have been pre-leased to lease terms of 20 years from completion. The fund-through basis means that the projects are fixed price, where we are receiving a return of 6.25% on our capital out the door, from the day it's paid, and this type of structure means less development risk to Arena than the other types of projects that we've undertaken in the past, and it reflects our cautious but flexible approach to securing new attractive investment opportunities. This portfolio acquisition was funded by an institutional placement of $55 million, which was heavily oversubscribed, and I thank all those existing and new institutional investors for supporting the business and participating in that process. But also to allow retail investors to participate in the equity raising, we currently have open a security holder purchase plan, and that's due to close next Monday. So I think there is still a little bit more time left to get your form in, but demand has been well over the $5 million mark. So as you can see, FY18 is already off to a very active start. Moving to slide 6, this slide reiterates the distribution guidance we provided last month for FY18 of 12.8 cents per security. This guidance reflects an increase of 6.7% over FY17, the year just gone, and reflects our expectations for the year ahead based on certain assumptions. I think this forecast growth remains in the top quartile for the AREIT sector and should underpin our ASX performance in the coming year. So with that, I'll now hand over to Gareth Winter to take us through the financial results for the year.
Thanks, Bryce, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to run through a summary of Arena's FY17 operating results and also give an update to the capital position. In addition to the information I'm taking you through, there's also some further, more detailed financial information in the appendix to the presentations. If we turn to page 8 of the presentation, there's a summary of Arena's FY17 operating profit and loss. I will start by noting that the FY17 financial results being presented today are the same as that disclosed to the market in conjunction with the institutional placement in late July. Net operating profit represents Arena's cash-based earnings and the source of distributions to our investors. It excludes non-cash adjustments, the most substantial of which are the periodic property and derivative valuations. There's a reconciliation of the net operating profit to statutory profit in the appendix to the presentation, but the most substantial item is the $66 million of property revals. Notably, Arena's cash operating profit is up 12% on the prior year, with EPS up 11%. This result has been driven by a combination of revenue growth from investment in new ELC developments and the rent review mechanisms, whilst maintaining a comparably stable expense structure. Arena's growth tracked ahead of expectations at the beginning of FY17, and due to the strong market rent reviews, new investments and developments progressing ahead of schedule, this allowed us to upgrade our FY17 distribution to 12 cents per security, which, as Bryce mentioned, was 10% on FY16. Just looking at some of the specific line items, property income is also up 12% compared to the prior year. The principal contributors being the rental growth from the annual base rent reviews and the market rent reviews, which averaged 4.3% on a like-for-like basis. Also, the income from Arena's continued investment in ELC developments. There were 7 greenfield sites completed, development sites completed during the year, plus an extension project on an existing centre. So all up, 8 developments completed, which contributed to income. There's also the full period effect of income from 4 ELC developments, which were completed in FY16. Other income includes interest and fees earned from managing two healthcare property syndicates. I will note that one of those syndicates has terminated in early FY18 and the annual management fee of around $200k per annum will now cease. The investors in that syndicate received a substantial return on their investment, and Arena has crystallised an accrued performance fee of around $250,000. Property expenses, they've remained relatively stable, notwithstanding the substantial growth in assets. The increase in the current year is principally due to additional allowances for property condition reports in advance of the 120 or so lease extensions which were completed in FY17. Operating expenses, which include staff salaries, occupancy costs, IT, as well as usual trust operating expenses like registry and custodian, ASX fees, etc. Those expenses have remained relatively stable with a modest increase over the past couple of years, and this is principally due to additional staff resources, which has assisted in accommodating Arena's growth. To put that in context, over the last 2 years, the annual property income has increased by $7 million and total assets have increased by around $170 million. Borrowing costs, they have increased as we've drawn down debt to fund the ELC development pipeline. The volume effect from the increase in average borrowings has been offset to some extent by the reduction in our average effective borrowing rate following on from our refinance in December 2015. As Bryce mentioned, the FY18 distribution guidance has been established at 12.8 cents per security, which represents an around 7% increase on FY17. We expect that the payout ratio will be stable compared to the last few years, and this reflects the strong operating cash flow of the business and the predominantly triple net nature of our underlying leases. If we turn to page 9, you'll see a chart illustrating the relative EPS effect of the operating profit growth drivers mentioned. As you would expect, the significant contributions are from the rent reviews and the new investments, which have contributed around 0.5% each to EPS. There's also a small benefit from the lower average borrowing costs and a small offset in the changes in operating expenses. Just turning to page 10 and the financial position, we've got a summary of some key balance sheet items here. The full balance sheet is in the appendix. Key points to note here are total assets have increased by $107 million in FY17 through a combination of the continued strong asset revaluations of $66 million and a further $40 million invested into ELC developments. The asset revaluations are also the primary driver of the 19% increase in net assets per security over the course of FY17. Arena continues to adopt an efficient approach to new investment, and whilst overall borrowings have increased to fund the development pipeline, there has been only a relatively modest change in gearing, which was 27.5% at 30 June. The gearing remains below Arena's maximum gearing range of circa 35-40%. However, we remain comfortable that the current gearing gives Arena scope to take advantage of new opportunities. Obviously, post 30 June, we undertook a $55 million institutional placement to fund the acquisition of the 9 ELC development projects, with a total investment of $65 million to come. To those that may not be as familiar with the transaction, we have also provided a pro forma balance sheet to illustrate the effect of the transaction on the effective completion of all 9 projects. The appendix to the presentation contains the full reconciliation from the June balance sheet to the pro forma. But I'll also note again that this is in line with the pro forma provided at the time of the capital raise. I'll note a couple of things in relation to the pro forma. It doesn't include the SPP, which is currently open, closes next week, and that may raise up to a further $10 million, depending on demand. Pro forma gearing of 26% maintains our investment capacity, and it also doesn't include any valuation uplift from the completion of the 9 projects. As we noted at the time of the capital raise, the independent valuations we received are greater than the acquisition value. We now turn to page 11. I have a summary here of Arena's capital management position. Again, further information has been included in the appendix. Arena continues to take a prudent approach to capital management, with our key areas of focus during FY17 being liquidity management, which included a $30 million expansion of debt capacity to accommodate new investment opportunities. We consistently maintain committed facilities in excess of our development pipeline commitments, which reduces our funding risk and also maintains capacity to fund new investment opportunities at short notice. We also extended our hedge cover as debt was drawn during the half to maintain cover at around our preferred level. The cover at 30 June is of 79%, is slightly above our usual level, as we did take the opportunity during the second half of FY17 to increase our hedge cover to cover upcoming debt drawdowns, whilst long-term rates were looking more attractive. I also note that the DRP remains open to also provide additional funding for our development pipeline. Arena's weighted average cost of debt has remained relatively stable compared to last year, with only a minor reduction of 10 bips over the course of the year. As I mentioned, Arena raised $55 million in an institutional placement, and the SPP may raise up to $10 million. The SPP closes next week, and we expect to update the market on the outcome of that in early September. Finally, I will note that Arena has no debt maturity for the next 18 months. The first expiry in December 18 is half of our facility, which was on a three-year term. We expect that this expiry will be actioned during the course of FY18, and we will continue to consider longer debt opportunities or increasing our tenor. And finally, Arena continues to operate well within the requirements of our debt facility covenants with substantial headroom in our gearing and interest cover. I'll now hand over to Rob DeVos, who will take you through an update on Arena's property portfolio.
Thanks very much, Gareth, and good morning, everyone. Before moving into the detail of our portfolio performance, I'm keen to re-emphasise our strategy for the composition and management of the portfolio. Our strategy is to invest in social infrastructure real estate, where we can take advantage of the macro themes of population growth, growing community need, and governments increasingly outsourcing the provision of community infrastructure to the private sector. Our objective for the portfolio is ultimately to provide investors long-term predictable cash flows with the opportunity of growth. We've set out in the table our status against our preferred property characteristics that are in place to achieve that objective. Long lease terms. We've worked hard to extend our leases with our tenant partners since listing 4 years ago, and as a result, our WALE now sits at 12.8 years. Premises that have strategic importance to tenants. 96% of our assets are purpose-built, therefore enhancing operational efficiency and increasing the likelihood of tenants renewing their leases. High credit quality tenants, with a split of ASX-listed, not-for-profit and private operators across the portfolio. In aggregate, all are profitable, and our largest tenant, Goodstart, has significant cash reserves and no long-term borrowings. Additionally, we have a high level of lease security, typically with six-month bank guarantees and, in some instances, cross-default provisions. Tenants being responsible for the expenses and management of the portfolio, we've predominantly triple net leases across the portfolio and believe that there is an alignment in interests and efficiencies to be made where the tenant controls the maintenance and upkeep, including CapEx and structural obligations, which ultimately provides a level of control to the tenant and a high degree of predictability in our cash flows. Lastly, where we can effectively manage reversionary risk. Given the specialised nature of the properties that we invest in, we are acutely aware of the need to manage and maximise reversionary value. Our leases provide for long notice periods on options, and our ELC leases provide and obligate our tenants to provide us detailed reporting on business profitability, which informs our decisions on renewal probability. As a real estate partner of choice, we maintain close relationships with our tenants, which allows us to identify recycling and value-add opportunities across the portfolio. Moving on to portfolio highlights. Financial year 18 has again seen great results achieved across the portfolio, not only in terms of total return, which was 19% for the period, but also because of the success we've had in increasing the portfolio's defensive characteristics. Highlights for the period are achieving rental growth of 4.3% on a like-for-like basis. This includes an average increase of 6.8% for each of our market reviews. We've extended 102 leases for an average of 6.2 years, contracted the sale of two properties during the period of 5% premium over prior valuations. We completed eight development projects, including stage one of the PPP project with the State of Victoria on new public primary school sites. Additionally, we replenished the development pipeline with five high-quality development projects and post-balance date acquired a further nine properties on a fund-free basis, increasing the development pipeline to $113 million. Our portfolio metrics are in good shape, 100% occupancy, WALE at 12.8 years, portfolio values up at $66 million or 12.6% to $591 million, and our weighted average passing yield is 6.76%, which I think remains conservative against recent direct market comparisons. Moving on to our lease expiry profile, there are a couple of important factors behind the increase in our WALE, which has increased 4.5 years in the 4 years since listing. Firstly, the quality of the portfolio continues to attract our tenants to take up additional tenure, and as such, our renewal rate remains at 100%. Secondly, our partnership approach with our tenants is strong, which has allowed for opportunities to proactively renegotiate and extend leases to provide the tenant longer tenure and at the same time increase the defensive characteristics of our portfolio. You can see the predictability and longevity of the underlying cash flow has been enhanced with only 3.2% of the portfolio income expiring in the next 6 years. Our current leasing programs are focused on those expiries, as well as our healthcare expiries in financial year 21 and 24, and also the FY24 Early Learning Centre expiries. Moving on to our rent review profile on the next slide. The chart on this slide, and I'm on page 16, illustrates the simplicity and comparative advantage our rent review structures are providing investors in the current low inflation environment. For financial year 17, and working up the graph from the bottom, 83.4% of the portfolio's rental income was subject to either a fixed increase or a minimum 2.5% increase. Importantly, the ratchet or floor protected an exposure to the low CPI outcomes that many commercial and childcare leases are currently exposed to. In this category, we also extended and renegotiated leases, which provided a further uplift. In total, the outcome was 4% growth achieved in this category. Above that, in the grey box, we had 11.4% of the portfolio's income subject to CPI-only increase, which on average provided for a 1.6% like-for-like increase. And above that, in the black and light blue boxes, we had 11.8% of market rent reviews, 6.6% of which related to financial year 16 reviews, and the balance being 5.2% being those that fell due in the period. All of these were collared at the prevailing rent and capped at a 7.5% increase. For these reviews, we achieved 6.8%. Looking forward to the next 3 years, less than 11.5% of income per year is subject to a maximum increase of CPI. The black wedge at the top of each column is our exposure to market rent reviews. We've completed all of our market rent reviews for financial year 18 at an average rate of 6.3%. We have 20.7% of income subject to market reviews in financial year 19 and 12.7% in financial year 20. In all instances, these market rent reviews are subject to a collar of the prevailing passing rent. Most importantly, though, is the big blue wedge at the bottom of each of the columns, which represents the fixed or CPI minimum 2.5%. As mentioned, it is this ratcheted structure that is providing real growth in the current low inflation environment. Moving on to valuations on page 17, and consistent with our release to the market in June, we've seen valuation growth in each of the states and sectors that we invest in. In total, the portfolio value as of June was up $66.1 million, an increase of 12.6% for the year. Just over a third of the portfolio was independently revalued during the year, which is in line with our program of a rolling three-yearly independent valuation program, with intervening financial periods being measured by directors' valuations. The increase in value is a result of the compression in yields of 54 basis points and an increase in rents, as well as development margins being accounted for on completed projects. It is worth making the point that we continue to see a disconnection between the real property market and formal valuations. To this end, Arena has been compiling a database of the sale of early learning centres since 2012, and some headline yield analysis from this database is included in the appendix. In summary, it provides that yields have reduced a further 50 basis points in the last 6 months and now typically ranging between 5% and 6% along the eastern seaboard. We've also included in the appendix a state-by-state breakdown of independent and direct evaluations. Moving on to our developments, We continue to receive strong earnings and value accretion from our development programs. We've completed 8 high-quality early learning centre developments during the year, which have provided 807 new long-day early learning centre places into undersupplied catchments. We're particularly pleased to have completed stage 1 of our partnership with the State Government of Victoria, providing 5 early learning centres on public primary school sites in Victoria's fastest growing communities. These projects were completed on budget and ahead of time. Each of these properties are subleased to YMCA, who are performing well, as Bryce mentioned, in their first months of trading. The balance of our development completions were in regional Victorian towns, which have benefited from state government infrastructure investment and are experiencing high population growth, as well as stage 2 of our Griffin development project in Queensland. The common investment rationale for each of our developments is undersupplied catchment areas, poor, older-style competition, and the introduction of high-quality operations with ease in parking and good exposure that can be delivered at a cost that allows the tenant to be highly competitive with their daily fees. I guess looking forward and on the next slide, our development pipeline. In total, our development pipeline now sits at 18 projects with an aggregate cost of $113 million. We anticipate completion of 17 projects progressively over the course of financial year 18, which will be another record delivery year for Arena. As of today, we're progressing well and have reached practical completion on 2 of those projects, including the successful opening of our Chadstone Early Learning Centre, immediately opposite the Chadstone Shopping Centre in metropolitan Melbourne. Our development projects can be categorised into 2 categories. Firstly, sites where Arena originates the site, secures the tenant and manages the construction program. In this category, we have 7 projects underway at a forecast cost of $31 million and an anticipated yield of 7.7%. That reflects a slightly higher development risk in the delivery method. Secondly, we have 12 sites, including the 9 sites acquired post-balance date, that are categorised as fund-through structures, where either a third-party developer or tenant undertakes the development and we pay capped progressive payments for which we earn a return either by capitalised coupon or site rent. These projects have a lower level of inherent development risk and as such provide for a lower anticipated yield of 6.3% in aggregate. In total, the development portfolio is a mix of predominantly metropolitan sites with a common theme of strong tenant, undersupplied market and a comparative advantage in a local context, for example, close to a primary school or located on a major commuting thoroughfare. The pipeline provides for just over 2,100 long-day places in high-demand catchments, and importantly, each site has settled with a pre-committed tenant in place on our preferred lease structure, and all but one has our preferred planning permit conditions in place. Of the $113 million total anticipated cost, approximately $49 million is outstanding to complete the 18 projects. Moving on to the outlook for early learning, firstly, and on the demand side, we anticipate for early learning to be an increase in demand for services in the medium term, driven by continued population growth in the 0 to 4-year-old bracket, higher maternal workforce participation, and better recognition of the socialisation benefits that early learning provides to young children. Importantly, the federal government's $37 billion Jobs for Families package will take effect in July 2018, which will provide a simplified subsidy arrangement. In practice, this will provide families earning under $65,000 a subsidy of up to 85% and a scaled rate of subsidy tapering down to zero for families with incomes greater than $350,000. This package is designed to incentivise lower and medium income families to go back to work or increase their working hours. Interestingly, this package will also suit our learning centre tenants, who are typically geared towards middle income families. Our average daily fees for our tenants across the portfolio is currently sitting at $92.50 and range from about $67 to $129 per day. This is at the lower end of fees for the industry. To give this some context, some early learning centre operations are currently charging in excess of $185 a day at the top end, which is obviously twice our average rate. In relation to supply, net new supply continues to accelerate, with 4% growth in new centres in the year to 30 September 2016 and an increase in the number of childcare projects with planning approval. Our analysis provides that there is 356 projects currently in construction. We've included in the appendix a breakdown of that data on a state-by-state basis. With competition increasing, we anticipate that newer, more efficient centres, the ones that are less likely to be vulnerable to occupancy and profitability pressures. For us, it is critical to assess our portfolio and our development opportunities on a micro-market basis to best understand the health of the underlying catchments. And whilst there are still good opportunities for strong, long-term investment returns, it is our view that a growing number of proposed developments do not have the level of required analysis and are susceptible to viability pressures should they proceed. In relation to operating conditions, increased competition has seen further pressure on centre occupancy rates, with our own research and the recent disclosures of listed childcare operators pointing to new supply, as well as families reaching their subsidy cap earlier in the last 12 months, as having a detrimental impact on occupancy. We believe these conditions will affect the rate of fee growth, which has been growing at a rate of about 6.8% per annum over the last 10 years. We anticipate this to slow as operators seek to protect occupancy and market share. From a real estate transaction perspective, we've seen increased volume in early learning centre transactions in financial year 17 that have typically been acquired by high net worth private investors. The demand of these investments has pushed yields down to between 5 and 6% across the country. Moving on to the healthcare outlook on page 21. In the healthcare sector, the macro trends remain positive. A higher number of people are moving into the older age brackets, and a higher proportion of the population are living with chronic illness such as heart disease, diabetes and obesity, which is underpinning increased need for healthcare services and, from our perspective, the infrastructure to accommodate those services. Despite some current challenges on operator margins and complex government funding arrangements, we're anticipating a continuation of the competition from healthcare operators in obtaining market share for network expansion, particularly of multidiscipline medical centres and perhaps a consolidation of pathology and imaging services. From a real estate transaction perspective, healthcare accommodation remains an extremely competitive real estate sector, with yields on major transactions with long leases to reputable healthcare operators now in the 5% yield or mid 5% yield range, and at the smaller end of the scale, recently dipping under 5%. Like us, investors are attracted by the high historical returns and supportive demographic trends that healthcare real estate investment provides. It is worth mentioning that Arena has participated in a number of on and off market opportunities to increase our exposure to the healthcare sector over the last 12 months, but it also ultimately has been unsuccessful in achieving an acquisition that makes long-term economic sense for investors due to the current aggressive market pricing. With that, and to continue with the outlook, I'll now pass you back to Bryce.
Thanks, Rob. And turning to slide 23, as you can sort of see and hear, we've really been firing in all cylinders, and it's been a record strong year with net profits up 11% on a per securities security basis. We've had higher distributions. They've been up 10%. We've had higher property valuations with our net asset value up 19%. And this has all, I guess, contributed through and flowed through to our higher ASX price, which has had a total return of nearly 20% over the year. We've been building on our core strengths and successfully executing on our strategy of developing quality childcare centres in the right locations with our preferred lease structure and tenant operating partners. I've been very pleased with the success we've had extending our leases over the year, as well as the cost control discipline we've shown on the cost side of things. If I start to think about looking forward and into 2018 and beyond, I guess the first thing to mention is we've got a limited number of market rent reviews in FY18, and although we've already locked in that 6.8% increase on those market rent reviews, we expect our rent, like-for-like rental growth to sort of moderate over FY18. earnings growth will come more from the development activity that we're undertaking through the projects we've completed in FY17, as well as the record 17 projects we expect to complete over the current year. Those projects and also will also contribute to earnings through to FY19. And in FY19, we actually have a higher proportion of market rent reviews coming into that year, which will give us an opportunity there. For FY18, we've confirmed our distribution guidance of 12.8 cents, which will be paid on a quarterly basis, and that's an increase of 6.8% over the year just gone by. Our confidence around that guidance is quite high, given the predictability of our income streams. I think based on last night's share price of, I think we closed at $2.24, that reflects a forward-looking distribution yield of 5.7% on FY18, which I think is quite attractive in context of the other A-REITs, and it's also on context of our expected earnings growth and predictable nature of our income streams, etc. As a consequence of the recent capital raising, our net asset value should increase by up over by $60 million just on the back of that, which will be positive for our NAV per security. With the usual rental growth and our attractive portfolio yield currently around that 6.8% mark, and transactions occurring, as Rob mentioned, in the range of 5 to 6%, I suspect we'll see further revaluation growth over FY18, albeit it may not be as strong as what we've seen over FY17. From a market operating perspective, childcare operating conditions have been a little bit weaker, and we expect these conditions to improve across our portfolio from mid-next year when the new government funding comes into effect. And I think these market conditions actually favour well-capitalised and experienced groups like ourselves. And just moving on to the last slide, our investment case, and I'll just sort of summarise again what I think are some of the major factors driving our performance. It's really the nature of our portfolio and our properties with their long leases, which are generating very attractive, predictable and growing income streams. It's the favourable underlying macroeconomic and demographic tailwinds supporting the growing demand for the types of services that we're accommodating. Where Arena itself is leveraging its expertise and knowledge of the market to identify and secure attractive investment opportunities and undertake quality new investments on a pre-committed lease basis. And we continue to believe Arena's internalised management model is superior to the other externalised management models from the perspective of efficiency, management accountability and alignment and governance approaches. And finally, we have a very conservative geared balance sheet, giving us plenty ample liquidity and a capacity to take advantage of earnings growth opportunities as and when those opportunities arise. So in summary, I guess, you know, Arena is actively managing what is largely a very stable property portfolio with long lease terms to identify and execute on value creation opportunities in order to generate high risk-adjusted returns for our investors. So with that, I will now turn back to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel a request, please press the pound or hash key. Our first question comes from the line of Scott Hudson from CLSA. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Can I just ask about the supply growth that you're seeing? I guess your table in the appendix points to just over 350 new centres in construction. I guess, firstly, what would you expect the net supply increase to sort of be over the next 12 months?
Oh, thanks, Scott. It's Rob here. Look, we have included some information there on both pages 42 and 43 to orientate others. Look, I think there's some danger in actually talking about conversion rates of what is in the pipeline. There's definitely a lot more planning permits around. I think that anyone can see that there's a lot of new sites with planning permits being put on. We've tried to just bring this back to what is factual, but now there's actually 356. What I think is interesting over a period of time, it's sort of seen growth really from September 2011, which has been reasonably constant but growing. You know, we had 4% September 16, as you can see, and you know, we're expecting that to grow. I think what will be interesting, a lot of the sort of deal flow that we're seeing at the moment is you know, developers that are struggling a little with finance or finding the right tenant. We're definitely, as Bryce mentioned, seeing operators that are perhaps not as aggressive with their network expansion and, you know, protecting margins at the moment. So I think that conversion rate with a bit of luck will actually come down from what is a very high pool of development applications in the system at the moment.
Yeah, Scott, I might just add, in the past, we've actually quoted Cordell as our source. In this instance, on that slide 43, we actually asked Business Geographics to actually go through and look at that data a bit more closely, because we've found in the past, just from the work that we've done internally, that it hasn't really been that accurate. So we've asked a third party to go through and sort of look at that data a bit more closely. So we think that's a more accurate sort of picture of where we sort of stand. I guess what we're not doing there is having a view on what closures we might see over the next sort of 12 months. and also whether of the planning, those projects which are in planning, and how much of those might come through the system. We've tried to pull back the discussion to what's, as Rob's just mentioned, is a more factual sort of basis, but that's the data we can give you, which we think is a bit more accurate than what we've given you in the past.
But your underlying assumption is that net supply growth will accelerate from the 4% you saw in the 12 months to September last year.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. I mean, if you looked at the on page 43, there's 5% in construction right now.
Yep. And in relation to, I guess there's increased evidence that maybe funding is starting to be constrained for some of these developers. How long do you think it'll take for the market to sort of bring itself into balance on the supply side of things?
I think it's happening now. So we're obviously seeing developers approach us with opportunities and what have you. I think that sort of has played into, I guess, our position from a financial capacity. We know we're in an attractive position in that sense. But I think we're sort of careful in terms of the lease structures. If there's been leases already put in place, that's obviously not as attractive to us as what would be. And also it gets back to obviously analysing those opportunities and whether they're in the right sort of markets. So I think a lot in the planning process won't get through the system as much as... I think in the past we've had that conversion rate of somewhere between 25 and 30%. I think that will come off. Part of the finance...
So this we're sort of at the peak in terms of supply additions where we stand now. That sort of 356 is the peak in supply in your view?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. That's all for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Scott Hudson, CLSA. Please ask a question.
Sorry, if there's nobody else around, I'll just jump in with one more. In relation to the funding package increase, have you or any of your operators done any analysis around what they expect that bump in occupancy to be come 1st of July?
Yeah, look, we've obviously done a bit of work with the operators. It gets back to what we think will be the number of hours how it could impact on the number of hours that kids have been spending in childcare. And I think, as you know, it's around that sort of 27, 28 hours. And yeah. one of the work we've done, that could increase by 4 to 5 hours. But, it might take some time. So that's where we sort of see it's really coming through that participation rate.
Okay. And, I mean, relative, do you think that, I guess you've got 5% supply, but obviously a sort of a, what's 4 to 5 hours is, so that increase in the utilisation rate should easily outpace the increase in supply coming on stream in the next 12 months, so you do expect a material uplift in occupancy.
Well, it depends on, I guess, when we look at that hourly, we're looking at our portfolio in terms of the segments of the market that we're in, and that sort of low to middle income demographic. Obviously, that's not going to apply potentially at the higher end of the market, and that's really the question mark at the moment. No one really knows that answer. So it's all a bit of a projection and a forecast, crystal balling, if you like. It's a little hard, but we'd think that with that additional funding, that it should encourage those extra number of hours, particularly at the low end of the market.
Okay. That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Keith So from So Superfund. Please ask a question.
Yeah. From your experience since listing, how much, what is the annualized property appreciation per annum?
Yeah, okay. We do have a slide. Let me just find it for you. We've given you a bit of a track record on a balance sheet, which is in the page 28 of our presentation. And I think we have a total asset number there, we do. But it's a little bit tricky to work that out because obviously that's including acquisitions.
so that we need a like-for-like growth number.
A ballpark figure, would it be something like 15 to 10%?
Well, we have given you the... We have our like-for-like rental growth has been running at that sort of 3 to 4%, and we've given you an indication of how our yields have been firming over the period of the last 4 years. So you could work it through backwards, but give you a more like-to-like sort of annual increase. But we've actually got our actual numbers here, which sort of it takes into account, you know, new acquisitions and developments and disposals and things. So you can't quite work out for a like-to-like basis what that is. But
that is true. Yeah, I guess Keith, but perhaps the other one to look at too is on page 29, about halfway through that chart, the total property return as a percentage. So you've just got the annualised there from FY14. So you can see there, and working backwards from financial year 17 that we've just spoken about, 19%, 19%, 20%, 19%. So pretty impressive. I think what you've seen there is obviously good management, but also a realisation from the marketplace about this social infrastructure asset class. So those yields coming down over that period is what's really driving that.
No, when you said 19%, you said purely through capital appreciation of the property, like for like?
No, it's not. No, that's not. That is a total portfolio return that includes both capital.
Okay. I would like to get a feel for how much is the capital appreciation of a ELC property since listing.
In our portfolio on a like for like basis?
Annualized increase in value.
Yep.
We can certainly work that out.
Yeah. So it's effectively it's 9%.
So they were about 8.5% to 9% when we listed, and they're now 6.7.
We'd have to come back to you on that number. If you're happy to leave it with us, we'll come back to you.
Okay. When you say come back, would you be able to email to me? I got my email address.
Sure. Keith, it may be appropriate to not put your email address over this call. We'll if you perhaps get in contact with us off our website, I'll call you later on this afternoon.
Okay. Like you say, probably around 9 or 10%. When we look at residential property market in the last few years, they have been growing in the capital city something like over 10%. Does it mean that ELC capital appreciation is below the residential property appreciation?
Yeah, it's a pretty broad I guess sample set. We can talk for our ELCs. There's obviously a very big market of them out there, and there's definitely been a very hot market for real estate generally, I'd sort of add. Perhaps having a discussion about, you know, what our portfolio has done later on this afternoon, and we can talk about that, make a call on how that compares against the different resi markets.
Okay. And last question on passing yield. Your definition of passing yield, you said the net revenue being the gross revenue less expenses over property value?
Yeah, that's right. It's absolutely net rent. One of the benefits of the leases that we've got in this portfolio is that they're predominantly triple net, which means that there's not a lot of expense leakage that comes from them, Keith. So, yes, it is very much net rent over property value.
Okay. One last question on the healthcare property portfolio. Do you have a target, percentage where you want to grow your healthcare centre portfolio in terms of your total portfolio?
We've no targets as such. We would like to grow it and increase our weighting there, but it also gets back to relative opportunity and the risk return relationship on those opportunities. So, and as I think Rob sort of mentioned earlier on today, we have been looking at opportunities in that space, but we haven't been able to find pricing that sort of makes sense to us over the long term.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Yep.
Okay. I noticed that Folkestone Education Trust is a shareholder, something like 4%. Is he your competitor or strategic partner or just a passive investor?
Good question. Well, it was certainly a competitor to us, and they're certainly a shareholder to us.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks for that.
No problem.
Bye.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back to today's presenter. Please continue.
Thank you. Okay, well, that's it for questions. Thank you for your participation and attendance this morning. You will find in the appendices to the presentation additional information relating to the annual results as we've talked about. If you do have any further questions or would like to meet with us on a one-on-one basis, please don't hesitate to contact either myself or Susie McPherson, Arena's Head of Investor Relations and Marketing. You'll find our contact details in the back of the presentation. I also mentioned that we've scheduled our annual general meeting for the 15th of November here in Melbourne. The full board and the senior management team will be attendance there if you're interested in attending. And lastly, we look forward to keeping you abreast of any material updates as they occur, and we'll be reporting our half-year results for FY18 in February next year. So until then, please keep well. Over and out.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our call for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.